That's what I want to start with this morning, is just actually a question. So Encounter was a great weekend. Pastor Colin preached some great messages, awesome messages. And they were spiritual messages, but they were practical messages. So who was here? What message was personal to you? What really encouraged you?
The message that I got it last week Sunday is the message of to have a peace. I have peace. When he preached about that, the scripture of Jesus, he said, I leave you in this world, I live with peace. I receive that peace in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And how has that changed this week?
It was very good for me. I have a peace in this week.
Okay. I'm going to move on to someone else. Who else was there?
What I learned that I have power. When I walk, wherever I go, I am somebody. And that authority that the Lord has given me shows, because sometimes I just used to let things ride and stuff like that. But now I just feel that I have that authority. I can overcome. I can get what I want because the Lord is with me and the power is with me.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Who else? I saw you guys there.
I think one of the things that stood out for me was about understanding about the Lord's glory and how he wants to use us to manifest and release his glory, and how that is going to affect and change the things around us. So that when, for me, you know, this week it was not being irritated by some things and just remembering just to stay peaceful, not to get wound up about a particular situation. So, but understanding that actually, yes, we carry his glory. And it's his glory that's going to make a difference to the people and places around us.
Yeah. And for me, it was about the kingdom and about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and that our King, King Jesus, is bringing the kingdom to this earth now.
Yes.
I thought it was a very now word, mm-hmm. very now, and it just brought for us together a lot of things, just pulled the threads together, and that we are part of his kingdom that is coming now.
Come on.
For me, I think it was also about the kingdom. It was more to do about seeking the kingdom of God, and I think what actually arrived with me was that it's time to actually give everything to God and to remind us as Christians that sometimes we might feel like we have time, but there is no time.
Mm.
It is time to really work hard spiritually and grow and seek the kingdom of God.
Amen. That's good. Who else?
Doing what God wants, and the Lord Jesus is returning soon.
Amen. That's good. Hey, man, we need some more people.
So I walked into work, and the first image I saw on the wall was the image of a tree surrounded with green leaves and oranges. And that was a straightaway reminder about God's great commission over our lives, that we need to go and be fishers of men. Time is running out, and we have a duty, and it rests upon us as Christians. Amen.
Amen. That's so good.
We often talk about who we are in Christ, but a lot of this weekend was about who Christ is within us,
mm-hmm.
and how we need to get out of the way sometimes and just let him get on with it.
Excellent. Really good.
What I learned, it's about the kingdom. One of the ways to express the kingdom, it's practical love.
Yeah.
On that weekend of the encounter, I opened my home to young people, about 14 of them. I came to the encounter on my way back home. I found a check, £196 for just scratch glasses, which the company paid back on that particular day because I opened my house to children.
Wow, praise God. Praise God. How exciting. Keep doing it. See, when we're giving God our best, we actually unlock miracles for ourselves. And it's not just finances, but sometimes those are the more obvious miracles. When we actually take time, and you know, that word that each of you have spoken about, that treasure, that's what it says in Matthew 13, is there was the kingdom is like a treasure, verse 44, that a man found in a field. Matthew 13, verse 44. If we just pull it up. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field that a man found and he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold everything he had and bought that field. And I'm just thinking, how real is that for us each Sunday or each week? How real is it that we hear something, we see something, and we recognize its value? You know, I think quite often, you know, in our lives, I think we kind of hear stuff, but, you know, it's like, oh, that's another good message. But do we really value it? Do we see how it's going to bring a transformation to our own circumstances? Yes, maybe. Is that how it's valuable? Or do we see that we are called to a bunch of people we have not yet met? That God has really got something to instill into us because he actually has got a plan of who to reach. Then it says in Ephesians 1, it says, Ephesians 2, it says that we were created in Christ for good works. Well, if there's nothing good dwells in me except Christ, well, then I better make sure that I'm focusing on Christ, haven't I? Yeah. That actually what is revealed, and I just thought that was very pertinent, what Pastor Colin said, the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you. The same chapter, Matthew 11, verse 13. The secrets have been given. And it's not some kind of weird sect that we've got some special stuff that, you know, it's only us, this church. You don't want to go to anywhere else, just this church, because we've got the secrets that no one else has worked out, Bible codes and all kind of weird stuff. No, it's none of that stuff. A secret is simply something true that you don't yet know about. A mystery, Paul calls it. In Ephesians 3, he says, I've been given this administration of grace to unpack, make plain the plan of God, the mystery, to make plain this plan. Well, we've got to dig into this, because the passage I've just quoted, it says that you sell everything, verse 44, Matthew 11, verse 44, you sell everything to get this field. Do you think the man then left the treasure in the field? It's like, oh, I've got this field. It's perfect. The field wasn't the thing he was going for. The field was the right to own what was in the field, the treasure. That's why he bought the field. He bought the field in order to get ownership of what he had discovered. Well, some secrets were given to us, were planted into us. They're supposed to be dug back up. Let's put it that bluntly. We're supposed to dig. Get the spade out and go and do a bit of work. Yeah? You can't admire the treasure when it's covered with a load of dirt. You get the treasure out and you clean it. And if it's an old treasure, you clean it very carefully because you know it's even more valuable. You know, a bit of gold, if you're a ring or something like that, that falls into the ground, it might be worth £100 or whatever, depending on how thick it is, how heavy and all the rest of it, or design. But if that was a Roman ring, its value is just exponential. There are things that God has planned, old treasures as well as new treasures, that we are supposed to dig into in the Word. Things that some of us, we've grown up with as being part of our life, but they are almost taken for granted. And therefore, because they're taken for granted, they lose the power. They lose the dynamic. We don't appreciate them anymore. Like I was joking 2 weeks ago, and I was like, said, I've learned how to use the washing machine. I will be very happy to give that responsibility back to Claire. Now, I might do it a little bit more often. But the reality is I've learned to appreciate something she does for me all the time. It wasn't I didn't appreciate it, but I have now appreciated it more than I was, because I've had to do it. How many things in the Christian life do we take for granted like that? If you turn to Psalm 119, I'm just going to pull out some scriptures here. And for me, Psalm 119 is one of these really long psalms. It's like, oh my goodness, it's in my daily reading. Let's set ourselves and let's read it, because it's so long. And usually people do it in chunks. And of course, the daily reading plan, if anyone's doing the same plan as me, we're on day 282. Yay. I'm on track. But if we just turn to that, there's some interesting things it says here in that psalm. It says, how can a young man keep his heart pure? Well, I don't know about you, but I still feel young. I'm not ready to pop my clogs just yet. I have days and years ahead of me, so I'm going to claim that. I may be a little grayer on the top and a little bit more around the waist, but I still feel like I've got a bit of get up and go. I can still outrun my kids, just about. Kiwa was showing me at camp a couple of years back, he and Eden were having these races. And Eden was making everybody look slow, wasn't he? You know, just, we have to have this young mindset. What has God got for me? Because even in my old age, God wants to use me. He can only use useful tools. If you want to be used by God, you have to set yourself aside from the ignoble things in order to be used for the noble things. In other words, the stuff that just happens in life, God can't really use. He doesn't use ordinary day stuff that often. He uses what people set aside for him. I mean, just think about this. You come to church on a Sunday morning, 2, maybe 3 hours. Well, if that's all the time you spend with God, you're going to be not just on starvation rations, you're going to be in trouble. Yeah. Oh, let's go another 2 hours for life groups, small groups, because that's what this church does. So that's now 6 hours a week out of 168 hours. It's a little bit disproportionate, isn't it? Yeah, but we think, oh, hang on a minute, I gave the whole of the day of Sunday to the Lord, and I gave the whole of Tuesday night to the Lord. How many more things do they want me to do? And then you boil it down to what you actually do, and you realize, actually, it's quite small, really. And then maybe we spend 15 minutes reading the Word, or half an hour. Just half an hour praying, spend a bit of time. And then we wonder why it's hard to see effective Christianity. And this is the challenge that Pastor Colin, I think, has really given us with these words. And I just want to start reading here, verse 1. If you could just pull up the Message version, for verses 1 and 2. I'll switch back to NIV in a second. But it says that you're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed. Who wants a blessed life? God's favor in every area of your life. That's what blessing means. It means in everything, God's going, yes, here's extra. Kind of the short version. Blessed. You're blessed if you stay on course on the road revealed by God. Not just, I believe God, let's go on my way. But God has a road mapped out for each one of us that he wants us to actually walk in. That's the call of God on each one of us, to be a disciple of Jesus. Come, follow me. That invitation that Jesus made right at the start to each one of us. Come, follow me, and I'll show you, I'll make you into something. Fishers of men, yeah. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, yeah. Administrators and helps and all kinds of ministries. Waiting on tables, hospitality, car parkers. All of that is part of the following, isn't it? Doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Hey, there is one day as a doorkeeper than 1,000 elsewhere. There's something that God wants to pour out a blessing on people who just give him some time. Do you hear that? You can give money and without giving yourself. How many give to Christian Aid or some Oxfam or maybe it's another charity that, you know, that's great, but you'd rather do that, send some money, so that you don't have to get involved. And when God's actually called us to a life of involvement, a life of involvement, you're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's the Message version. That's right, you don't go off on your own. You walk straight down the road he set. That's it. It's an interesting way to put it, isn't it? You know, I think sometimes we read the Bible and it's like, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. It's the NIV version. They're nearly imperfect. Nearly perfect version. Blessed are those who keep his statutes, who seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. I think that says it a bit better, don't you, in the Message? But as we're going on, I was just thinking about this. And I was meditating. It was part of my reading, but it was also part of me responding to what Pastor Colin spoke last week. And the whole week, I've just had this in my heart. There are some things you need to press into, some things that you need to press into. What does it say if you go to verse 9? How can a young person stay on the path of purity? So, how many young people we got in the house? So this is for you then. Is that right? Do you want to be called old? I'm not. I refuse to be called old. Anyone older than me is old. And that's what Pastor Tony said. And we have a young spring chicken at the back, Elsie. No, come on. Age is about how you feel. Yes. An attitude. It's an attitude. Young men will grow weary, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So this is what the Scripture says to us, but we don't live like that. We live by our self-effort very often. What shall I do? I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. So as I seek, I'm asking the Lord, help me, Lord. Yeah? That's all he's saying. Just help me just get this right. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's a work that Colin's word requires. Is it Colin's word or was it the Lord giving an apostle a word of direction into our personal and our corporate life? Yes, that's why I said to you at the start, don't receive him as my father-in-law. Don't receive him as a good preacher. Don't receive him as an author. Don't receive him as someone who's got to have a good message that's going to encourage us. Receive him as an apostle. Well, Romans 1, Romans 1, let me just pop to this. That wasn't where I was going to go this morning, but I just feel to really just point this out. Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand in the scriptures, and then in verse 5 it says, from him we receive grace and apostleship. So there's a grace and there's an anointing for a reason. We receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. An apostle, a pastor, an evangelist. The grace that we are given is to command or call forth obedience from God's people. Not because thou shalt, but because we stir up the love of God. That's why, you know, I got sent some videos recently, you know, about some things where Christians are preaching outside a concert, and I was just like, I was cringing. Yes, they are sinners. They don't need to be called wicked. They know they're wicked. And every time you call them wicked, they go and give two-finger salute, or one-finger salute, whichever background they come from. But you start talking about the love of God, and they stop and they listen. How the love of God will draw you out of that loneliness. The very things that this guy was preaching at them about, God wants to draw us from. You see, that call to obedience is a gentle, it's a lover's call. And this morning, that's why I want us to hear God's voice of love speaking to us as he says to us, because this is God's word, Alan, I want you to hide your word in my word in your heart. Because you're not going to sin against me if you do. Alan, I want you to praise me. Because in the midst of that, I'm going to teach you my decrees. I'm just turning these verses. This is Psalm 119. That was verse 12. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Well, Alan, praise the Lord, because as you do so, he'll teach you his decrees. All right, okay. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. What's this? I am expressing, he said about peace last week, about peace and government and about kingdom, so that I'm supposed to understand more that he is not just the king who reigns, but he's the Lord who rules. So his rule and his reign, I thank you that peace rules and reigns within me. I'm recounting the law of the Lord. What's recount? Recount is to say back. But it's to say it out loud. There is something critical and essential about us using our voices to speak like this. I recount the law that comes from your mouth. I thank you, Lord. You put words, I'm hiding them in my heart, but out of the overflow of my heart, my mouth is speaking and declaring your goodness today. Just putting, I rejoice in following your statutes. Well, I had to look up statutes and kind of go, right, and statutes, that just means enactments or customs. It's God's ways of doing things. There's another way of putting it. There's other, so statutes means that. Laws are about testimonies and witness. So as we read these words, we can interject them or adjust them. You know, it doesn't just mean law. Thou shalt do that, or I command, just sentence you to 14 years hard labor. But I rejoice in your ways of doing things, God. I rejoice in following your statutes. As one rejoices in great riches. Hey, this pearl of great price, this is God's way of success. God's way of success is you let some kids live in your house and you get more money. Huh? Go figure that. You give and you get. When many people are trying to work out how to get rich instead of how to get giving. I meditate on your precepts. What was precepts? Mandates and commands. I meditate on your commands, on your mandate. But a mandate's not just a command. A mandate is a commission. So you used to get those batons, the officers in the army. That's why they carried these batons. It was with that came a scroll, and it actually said, go here, take over these troops, and command them to do these things. That's a mandate. As a mandate, we have been given a command to go into all the earth and make disciples, not just get a bigger church here, but to go and make churches. Seek the kingdom, God will build the church, yes. But actually, churches are supposed to be a family of believers who live. A church is a group of people living in covenant relationship with one another. Not just, you see, I go to India and I'll go and preach in the training center. That is helpful, but it is not covenant. I impart something, I leave a deposit, which is really good, okay? But they're the ones that then go and build church. I don't have any involvement in that. And that's where we're desiring to see more churches planted from here. As a body of believers, our call is to reproduce churches, reproduce churches. We don't reproduce training centers. Training centers are essential because it takes training to develop skill. That's why Man United have a training camp for their kids, a youth academy, and City, and every other football team. They have something that they take the kids at a young age, and they work them through. When the church tries to do it, it's called brainwashing. It's just bonkers, isn't it? But if you as parents don't actually give your kids over to the training and then back the training yourself at home, where you have more of an insight and training your children how to not depart from the Lord, how to hide that word, what does that word mean for them, and take the scripture seriously where it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, but train them, raise them, encourage them in the faith, then you wonder why they go off beam. But even if you do the training and you live something different yourself, they will copy the latter. So as parents, we have to be doers of the word, not just speakers of the word. So set an example. How many of you parents who have kids are following a Bible reading plan and are teaching your children to do likewise? Not because thou shalt, but because you want them to have an example to follow. This is what Paul said. I think it's 1 Corinthians 11. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. So the kids see you in the morning praying before you go to work, that it is more important to pray than to get ready for work. Or rather, it's so important that you give extra time so that they see you're ready. Yeah, everyone gets it wrong sometimes. Stuff happens. But what's the normal pattern? Do you hear what I'm saying? Are we disciplined in our walk with God because we love to get from him? You see, Pastor Colin has given us some things that in our life groups, we are going to dig into. See, we have life groups and we have small groups because Sunday's not enough. It's not enough for God and it's not enough for us. So life groups are area-based groups, people that you don't necessarily have any background connection with, who just happen to live in your area, and what is common? Christ. You have to learn to love people from other cultures, other backgrounds, other lifestyles, other whatever. You have to love them. But we also have small groups. And that is based around interests, something in common. We do both. See, Pastor Key will enjoy at the end of the service because they want people who want to run groups starting next month. So, Way of the Spirit's a great Bible course to read through. There are many others. So see them at the end. But this is this church. What have you set of your lifestyle to allow God to move? Or rather to allow him to adjust and have you ready for, what was that workplace? Hang on a minute. I'm going and I'm talking to tax advisors from a firm that have come in about a mission trip I'm going on in India. It's natural life. See, this is the thing. Peter's not going to India because he's rich. He's going to India because he has sensed an opportunity to obey God. Joy and Keeble, Vincent, various others, have also gone on mission trips this year. Here, this is direct from God. Where is your mission trip going to be this coming year? That is from God, not just Alan. God wants every person in this church going on a mission somewhere. It might be your local shops. It might be in the UK. It might be somewhere in Europe. It doesn't have to be India, Zambia, somewhere far away. It doesn't have to be the country that you came from. God can take us. And he gets foreigners, aliens, to shepherd the flock. So you can go somewhere as a complete alien who do not know the culture and bring God's word right into that culture because you're not under the culture. Sometimes it's easier than those who know the culture. However, it's good to know the culture you're going into and ministering because then you are culturally relevant. It's a double sword. Some people ignore the culture to their cost. Some people are so stuck in the culture to their cost. It's two extremes. We want the middle way, yeah? But what does it say? I delight in your decrees. There is something God wants us really digging into this morning and over these weeks, a commitment to actually taking time to study these in the small groups. What are we going to do with what Pastor Colin gave us? That is the word we will be judged at the judgment day. The challenge of the word, are you going to live an ordinary life that then Jesus goes, oh, right, back of the queue, no rewards for you, you're saved but as through smoke, as through fire. Or are we going to be those that go, here's the people that you led to the Lord through me, here's the people that went and followed Christ because I dared to go. I dared to go in the morning, dared to go in the evening and pray and take time. Let's just pray. Let's, as a church, I really feel that we're in that crossroads. Won't it be easy with Liverpool, with all these things, to get diluted in the center? And actually, God is going, who has been a life group leader and has laid that down? Because God's saying, get back on your feet and do what you used to do. Who was an evangelist that used to do stuff? Get back on your feet, go out and do it. Who was a missionary? Get back out. You know, let's get back on our feet. What is those things that God gave us to do? That word, it's doing that in my spirit. It must be doing it in yours. Father, we just thank you right now that your words are exciting. It does give us a bit of a heebie-jeebies as to what we're going to do with it. But we believe you when you say we are able to do what you command. And Father, we are saying our desire is that. And Father, where we've pulled back from relationships, small groups, house groups, we ask you to forgive us. And Lord, we're going to get back into that. And Father, we pray over our timetables that you will enable us to reach out once more and actually encounter you midweek, whether that's a Tuesday night or a Thursday or a Sunday or whatever additional nights that is, we choose to be in groups, to live life in circles and not just on Sundays, to live life to the full. We choose to give ourselves to the study of the word, like those Bereans who heard the word, looked to see whether it was really so in the scriptures, and you commended them and said they were far more noble. They had a better heart. We want to be found by you to have a better heart. Father, show us what that means with our time. Show us what that means in our study. Show us what that means in our words. Catch us when we speak wrong words, Lord. Let your spirit convict, oh, that wasn't good. We're inviting you today to challenge our spirits, Lord. Because we want you to work through us more and more. That Christ in us be revealed. The secrets of the kingdom be revealed. And we bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. That's not a word that we can just kind of lay hands on people and just see some miracles confirm the word. The miracle is that you actually do something with what I've just preached. That's the miracle. But I actually believe that this is a church where miracles are easy.